This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, MNS Private Limited, which is a JV between Khazanah and Temasek, appear to be selling their wholly owned subsidiary, which is Ophir Roshar Hotel Private Limited, to property developer Hoy Hap Realty for $475 million. This is equivalent to about 1.4 billion ringgit. Now, ORH is the owner of Andaz Singapore, which is a five-star luxury lifestyle hotel by the Hyatt, which opened in 2017. The first Andaz hotel in Southeast Asia. And it's, I believe, the highest price ever for a standalone hotel transaction in Singapore.
That's right. It's also the third highest price that was transacted for a hotel in Asia. MNS CEO Kemi Tan says that the company would continue to own and manage its assets at Marina One. He says that the transaction price will allow MNS to maximize return to shareholders while handing the reins over to Hoy Hap. And I believe a few days ago, Khazanah also came up with the statement that it has intention to reduce, to pare down its debt. Its current debt level is at stands at 47 billion, down from 55 billion, thanks to several asset sales. It has intention to further reduce that to between 35 and 40 billion. So this could be part of that entire debt reduction exercise.
Yeah, and on other Khazanah news, Khazanah did say they will finalise the decision on the strategic partner for Malaysian Airlines by the end of the year. And this is according to their MD, Dr. Shara Rizal Ridzwan. He said there have been proposals for over 20 parties to take over the airlines. They have come from fund managers, investors, as well as global and regional airlines.
Yes, yeah, so in July, Khazanah did hire Morgan Stanley to explore strategic options for Malaysia Airlines. And they've also maintained that Malaysia Airlines still has intrinsic value under the right partnership. So they have said that they also expect to inject about 1.3 billion ringgit into Malaysia Airlines this year. I wonder how much that would bring the total tally up to at this point.
A lot is the simple answer. And the question also is what for, right? I mean, if you're going to sell... Why not just sell it as is? Why, you know, make the country pay more?
Maybe because you can't find a buyer at this juncture and you need to keep the asset kind of going till you do actually finalise your transaction, right? So unfortunately, yes, you need to probably pump in some more money at this juncture. But I'm just curious, who are these 20 parties that want to take over the airlines, including some fund managers? I mean, this is news to me, right? Because the airline business is a notoriously difficult one and we can see the headwinds faced by airlines. I mean, okay, not related, but related to tourism. Even Thomas Cook went belly up. Condor Airlines, based out of Europe, needed a cash injection. And almost every other airline is facing some sort of losses. The Middle East ones, all, you know, although they're privately held and we really don't see the accounts, market says that they're not making money. And I think Cathay, for sure, will show quarterly losses with the Shaoning, disruption in Hong Kong.
Shaoning, fund managers are very smart people, you know. They can take over something and turn it around. I mean, you have a VC company in the form of RRJ proposing over to take Plus around and promising to inject a lot of technology into Plus, right? But, you know, I can almost hear Jomo in the background saying, you know,
whispering into your ears.
Yeah,
is it,
funding
Julian?
Of public transportation trumps funding of any other sort of transportation. And I believe that airlines is one of those that I totally have no feelings for, right? It's a lifestyle commercial product and it should be left to market forces to determine where it would go, not the government continue to providing it with some kind of a life support.
But there is also the nostalgia factor that you can't discount, right?
It's very expensive nostalgia factor.
It is.
20
but I
billion,
mean,
probably 20 billion ringgit and counting.
I mean, but we were talking about the nostalgia factor at during the 6 o'clock hour a few days ago and how it 90s nostalgia is back. I mean, I think to a certain extent, Malaysia Airlines is the same because once upon a time, having a national airline meant that you were of enough international importance to have your name out there and have it emblazoned on planes flying all around the world.
Well, the difference is that, you know, the T-shirt of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air is funded by the consumers themselves, whereas Malaysian Airlines has been put on a governmental life support. This is our money, right, for decades. And so I think the bailout umbilical cord has to be cut at some point.
I agree with you there that we shouldn't continue to use taxpayers' money. But at the same time, right, there is this necessity to keep it as a going concern and then relook at selling it. Because shutting it down tomorrow is not the solution either. I think immediately what we could do is raise the yield on the airline and, of course, cut costs. But, you know, to be fair to Malaysian Airlines, they have been doing that for the last, you know, 10 years. I just wonder whether there's more fat to be trimmed. Maybe really relook at some of the routes. Because the reality is that the aviation business is notoriously difficult. I mean, it's not just Malaysian Airlines that's suffering. I mean, for example, look at Cathay. I think with the troubles in Hong Kong, you will definitely see yields coming down significantly. And fuel prices are stubbornly still high at $60. And at the same time, consumers, with this global trend, in global slowdown, it's discretionary spending, isn't it? So would you stop traveling too?
But when you mentioned, so when you talk about routes and relooking at some of the routes that Malaysia Airlines flies, though, I mean, as the national carrier, it does have almost a responsibility to fly certain unprofitable routes, right? Especially to like the rural areas of Sarawak, for example.
Exactly, yes.
So what do you do about that? Because
well,
if you...
I kind of have an answer for that. Like, I'm not a fund manager, so I might not be as smart as some of the proposals that are out there. But, you know, you can outsource this. I mean, if you're going to absorb certain losses for servicing rural areas, right? You can outsource it to a company like AirAsia and say, hey, I'm going to pay you, instead of injecting 1.3 billion into MAAS, I'm injecting 1.3 billion right now to pay an existing profitable airline company. And the best thing about this is I can share efficiencies, right? Using the same resources that an existing commercially profitable airline has to service the rural area. It's an outsource, it's a typical outsourced model. You know, that can be done.
I'm not sure whether that model works, because if you look at how the rural areas need to be connected, right, it's not so much in terms of flying the current 737s. You're talking about flying all those small little propeller planes.
Like the MAAS wings.
Yeah,
right?
The MAAS wings, and having regular service like once a day. Because if you're really talking about, you know, trying to make it profitable and then you need to have a certain kind of yield, these flights honestly don't make
money.
No, don't
make
so
it
profitable.
So it's a social
obligation.
It's a social
almost.
Cost, right? Allocate
yes.
a certain amount of money to the rural flights. $500 million a year, $1 billion a year, and lease the planes, right? Don't buy new planes for that. Lease the planes and service those airlines. And what I'm saying is that an existing efficient airline company that's profitable can share resources and with that bringing costs down. But the government still has to fund that kind of operation. But instead of injecting billions and billions of dollars until time immemorial into Malaysia Airlines, you can have something like that. I don't know. As I say, I'm not as smart as you know, some of the proposals that are out there.
Some of the fund managers who've put their hat in the ring for Malaysia Airlines.
Yeah.
Well, nevertheless, Khazanah have said that they are targeting a pre-tax profit of 5 billion ringgit. Didn't elaborate on the rationale, though, behind the stronger outlook. Last year, Khazanah posted pre-tax losses of 6.3 billion ringgit. 2017, they made a profit of 2.9. And they are, as you mentioned earlier, Julian, also apparently on track to achieve their target of cutting debts to between 47 and 48 billion ringgit from 50 billion ringgit this year.
Yeah, because we did have this conversation with Jayan Menon, right, the lead economist at the Asian Development Bank. And we talked about Khazanah's strategic direction. And it's very much going to be domestic-driven, less so international. I think in the last few years, they did do a lot of international investments. Some of them were quite, you know, profitable into some of the tech startups, including Alibaba. But with our current fiscal deficit and I guess the state of the local economy, there is this necessity to look inwards versus outwards. And Jayan Menon said that perhaps when we clean up shop and look and kind of revitalize our own domestic economy, then yes, Khazanah will start looking overseas, a little bit like what Temasek is doing now in Singapore.
Yeah, I think they got to devolve this ownership, or at least think about the idea of the fact that the rakyat owns this 150 billion ringgit or so assets that Khazanah is holding right now, and it's supposed to be strategic assets. So if Khazanah continues to hold GLCs, is that going to benefit the rakyat over the long term, right? What kind of strategic direction is that? I think that is the question that has to be asked. You know, and you sort of overlay that with the ambition to actually divest a lot of this. It's hard. It's very hard to sell off the stakes without causing some kind of a disruption to the local market, right? How do you actually do that? How do you divest your stakes? And these are strategic stakes. How do you, you know, devolve control of such assets to the rakyat?
Yeah, and I think this Khazanah's direction is something that the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, brought up during his breakfast grill with Khoo Soo Chuang as well. And if you want to listen to that conversation, BFM app, you can find it there or on Spotify. So I guess it remains to be seen how Khazanah will indeed continue to find its way once again. Right now, though, we are heading into the 7:30 news, and after that, more international stories for you. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.